amazing when you come together with a group of believers. And I want to tell you this really quickly. When we had two Wednesdays ago, we had a meal where Unity and Community came here, and the leader of that, I gave her a tour of the church, and we were going around, and we went and stood on the porch out there, and she all of a sudden just got quiet, and I could tell something was going on, and she said, "Pastor, the Holy Spirit is here." And she said, "I've got chills." And it wasn't because, it was warm. It may not have been this warm, but it wasn't because she was cold. And she recognized that. And I recognize it in a very special way today. And I thank you for being who you are and for us being able to welcome the Spirit in a way that it's so obvious. The Spirit is always with us, but there are times that the Spirit is more obvious when we're accepting and when we're open to that. And I believe that is true here. And so I truly am excited about being back here. And I missed you guys. I missed being with you last week. I actually watched the video of last week. It was amazing. I missed being there, being here for that. Laura did a great and wonderful, where'd she go? There she is. Laura did an amazing job. Thank you, Laura. But I told the children, this little light of mine, it was awesome. And I hear in a few more months they've got another rendition. They're already working on of a different song. And it's exciting to have children that are being a part of that. Also, I got to see, I look forward hopefully sometime soon to being able to experience, but the way you did communion and just observing that was just amazing. And I'm thankful that God allows me to be here and be a part of what's going on. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Lord, I'm excited. Don't know if my words are coming together the way you desire them to yet or not, but I just ask right now that that's exactly what happens. You take this time. This is your time, God, not my time. That you would speak as you see fit, that you would allow me to just pull from your scriptures what you desire, that you would speak however you desire to each and every person here. You know where they are, what they're going through, the challenges, the struggles, the excitements, the blessings, all of it, God. You just take this time, make it yours, speak to us as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Vacations make a difference. And I want to thank this church for not only allowing me, but encouraging me to take time away. The deacons in particular, there was a time a year or so ago that I didn't take all my vacation. A lot of stuff going on, and they said, "Greg, you need to do that. We don't want you to just take the vacation that you're supposed to take." And so they encouraged me in that. And then there was some people as I left that they said, "Greg, we want you to go. We want you to get away. We really want you to just be able to relax and allow God to bless you." And there were people, multiple people right here that were telling me that. And I can't tell you how much of a blessing it is to have people encourage you in that way. But vacations really do make a difference, and when we have the freedom, it multiplies that. Vacation makes a difference in work productivity, makes a difference in perspective, it makes a difference in family, it makes a difference in balance of life, and it gives you something to look forward to. And I know all of those things, every single one of them happens in my life when I have vacations. And it's interesting. This is obviously not a biblical thing. It's just something that's true. Did you know that the U.S., and I tried to look this up, and so far I can't find anything that tells me it's not true. Did you know the U.S. is the only advanced economy without a federal law requiring paid vacation? In Europe, the law says that employees must be allowed periods of uninterrupted rest. Some countries require at least one block of leave to last for 2 consecutive weeks or more. Spain actually requires 22 days of vacation plus 14 holidays. Think about moving there yet? Taking time off is not just an option. Listen to this. It's actively protected by labor ministries. Employers can be legally penalized if they pressure employees to skip their holidays or cash out their days instead of actually taking time off. Just something to think about in case you haven't planned a vacation for this year. Well, we're going to, for this summer, I'm going to have kind of a vacation theme. And you'll understand why and how this relates to the Bible and specifically to Jesus Christ. But I think most vacations, when we think about them, not all of them, but a lot of them either have the theme of beaches or mountains. Some of the beaches you might go to could be Virginia Beach, Nags Head, Myrtle Beach, Hilton Head, the Caribbean. Or it could be to the mountains. And as I think of mountains, I also think of some that kind of ties these together. One that everybody here probably knows is Smith Mountain Lake. You have some beaches at the lake, you have the water, you have the mountains. It's all tied together, Smith Mountain Lake. And I think that kind of relates to what we see right here in front of us. So we have Smith Mountain Lake, Smoky Mountains, Gatlinburg, that Tennessee, the Adirondacks, the Poconos in Pennsylvania, the Grand Canyon. Or you can vacation and stay in Nelson. We have some mountains here too, and they're pretty nice. So you could actually have a staycation if you really make it a staycation and don't be tempted to work and do stuff that you do all during the week. I struggle doing that. I can't do it. I get sucked back into doing other stuff, which is one of the reasons I really have to leave in order to have that time. So I want to find out, and everybody has to participate. If you don't, I have a question prepared, and if you don't raise your hand for one of these, you will come stand here in front of the communion table. So that's my thing, that you raise your hand one way or another. You're going to choose whether you prefer beach vacations or mountain vacations, okay? If you prefer beach vacation, raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. If you prefer mountain vacation, raise your hand. All right, I was checking. All right. So I think beach won out by a little bit, but did you know all throughout Scripture we see Jesus going to those two places? There's times Jesus is at the beach. There's times that Jesus is at the mountains. There's times that he was on the sea or on the lake, as we might call it here. There's actually enough that for the entire summer we're going to be talking about those kind of encounters. So you can tell people, if you come to Woodland, you get to go on vacation every Sunday with Jesus. Because we're going to go to the places that Jesus went that tend to relate to that type of setting. So for most of the summer, we're going to be looking at the places and times that Jesus got away. Sometimes this was at the mountains, sometimes at the beaches. Oh, and by the way, for the summer anyway, you're welcome to wear your favorite vacation shirt to church. Got the pastor's permission to do that, just so you know. Our first vacation stop is here at the Sea of Galilee. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 8. We'll begin reading in verse 23 and going through verse 27. Matthew chapter 8, it's also on the screen behind me, beginning with verse 23, going through verse 27. Then he being Jesus, got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" They got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him." So if you look in your bulletin, I've done some a little different. You can see there are blanks there. I need to give you just a little explanation of that. There's actually a young person who is here today who I found out recently she takes notes. One of the ways that she prefers taking notes is being able to fill in the blanks. So I started this kind of because of that suggestion from this young person. But if you pay attention, you will know what goes in each of those blanks. So here's your first one. Storms are to be expected. Storms are to be expected. While we were on vacation, we had great weather. But, like is it the case of most of the time when you go to the beach, and you beach lovers, you've probably seen this, there's usually some type of brief rain shower practically every day. This brings us to the first thought of what I just mentioned. Storms are to be expected. It would seem, at least to some degree, if you read the first line, it says, then he, Jesus, got into the boat and his disciples followed him. It would seem to some degree Jesus is actually leading the disciples into the storm. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He's Jesus. When Jesus and his disciples got into the boat, the disciples followed his lead. But then suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake. Now, I need to tell you a story about a storm that happened on our vacation. You see, I was trying to be good about my exercising, and so we decided to take a 2-mile walk to a place called the Straw Market. At the Straw Market, it's people have their wares, they put things out, it's a nice place to go visit, big tourist trap, all that type of stuff, and we just figured it'd be a good place to go. A lot of street vendors. Well, we're going, and we get there, have a great time, we're starting to go back, and it starts raining. So we said, well, that's that thing, and usually it lasts a few minutes, and we're done. And then it starts raining harder. Then it starts raining harder. And we're saying, well, I hope this is done really quick. And then I knew there was a problem when we went by a store, and there was a lady in a little bit of a dialect that took me a little bit to understand. She looked over to another guy, and she said, get the sandbags. And sure enough, right at my wife's feet, I don't know why she was looking at sandbags, but right at her feet, he picked up these sandbags and went them and put them in front of the door to keep the water from coming in the door. That's how bad it was. And so, and it filled up the streets, like, quickly. And so, how far did I say we were from our place? 2 miles. That storm was ended up lasting about 2 hours. And so you can imagine if we had tried to walk back in that. But it turned out, Christy said, well, we can get a taxi back. I said, that costs money. We can walk. We walked here. I'm surprised Bob Umbarger didn't say amen. But I figured if we can either wait it out or we can walk somehow or another. We don't have to take a taxi. I know it ain't cheap. But then we looked at the street, and she wanted me to cross the street, and I am not kidding. That water came up to my calf, and it was bad. And so she yells across the way, across this sea that just developed, to a taxi driver there and said, how much to get back? And told him where we were and where we were going and stuff. He said, how many? She said, three. There were three of us, me, her, and Caleb. He told us, I think it was $25. And she looked at me, and I said, I'll take it. So we get in, we start heading back, and I'm soaking wet, by the way, because we still had to go to his taxi, which was a ways away. But anyway, we go there, we get in, we're heading back, and this guy just starts, we start talking about his children. And he said, I am so blessed. And then he started doing all this Jesus talk. And he didn't know nothing about us yet. I'm sitting in the front seat with him. And I said, are you a believer? He sticks his hand out. Yes, brother, I'm a believer. And just he was waiting for that invitation. Just going on. Then he tells a story. He said, I got to tell you what happened. I got to tell you. Like, he couldn't wait to get it out. He said, you know, I just took this one couple over here where we're going to go now. And I told him, I said, You're going to want to buy a day pass to this thing going on, or you're going to want to come back. You're going to need to. It's not going to work. And he said, they didn't listen to me. Sure enough, they just called me and they wanted me to come pick them up. And I said, you know, I just told my friend right there, it would be so good if I just had another fare going to the place that I've got, because it's a ways to go to get these people. It would just be really nice if somehow or another that would happen. He finished saying that, and my wife said, how much for a ride to that exact place? And he said, that's God. God does that type of thing. He still doesn't know anything about us yet. I said, oh, really? So I'm having fun with this, just seeing how far he's going to go and what he's going to say. And we keep talking, and we thanked him for the ride and stuff like that. Found out along the way that his name was O'Neill. And many of you don't know this, but as we got out, and we're getting ready to get out, and I gave him the fare, and I said, you said you thought this was something that God was a part of. I said, I very much believe it is, too, and I think it's a lot more than about this taxi ride. "You didn't know this, but I'm a pastor." He said, "Praise God." And just he got all more excited. And I said, "Not only that, my mom's first name is O'Neill." He said, "Brother, that ain't no coincidence." I said, "No, it's not." So I'm telling you, in the midst of that storm, in the midst of the biggest rain that we got there, in something that could have made me miserable, my wife was already giving me a hard time about just not being able to man up and do what I need to do in the midst of the storm. We saw and experienced God in a profound way. You might think all that was coincidence, but there was not a single one of the four of us in that taxi that thought for a second that was a coincidence. And God shows up. It's just whether or not we're willing to pay attention and recognize it. It was amazing. So, following God does not exempt us from the storms of life, even if you're at the beach. Rather, it means He is right in the middle of it with us, which is exactly what Laura was talking about. All right, let's move on. The second one. Get your notes out if you're looking for them. Our anxiety versus God's peace. Laura's already told us, but notice what Jesus was doing and what the disciples were doing. Jesus was doing what? Sleeping. What were the disciples doing? Panicking, freaking out. Which would you be more likely to do? I'm not saying we should not have concerns or take appropriate safety measures during storms, whether real or the metaphorical storms of life. But we, when we are following Jesus, we really can have peace in the midst of the storm. I've had it. And I'll be happy to, I'm not going to describe more times to you now, but I can. And there are other people here that I know, and they can describe that to you too. It's not just something we say, it's real. God of the universe is ever present, all knowing, and all powerful. He loves you more than you can imagine, and He has promised He will never leave you. And when you know that, that gives you a peace that cannot come from this world. This leads us to the third thing. God's power over creation. God's power over creation. Have you ever witnessed God's power in your life? I mean, really witnessed it. Like what the disciples just did in the boat, or maybe what I believe was obvious in the terms of our taxi ride. Things happen in your life that when you really pay attention and when you think about it, it demonstrates the undeniable power of God. I have another vacation story. This was from way back. And some of you know it. I actually shared it with the men's group on Friday, and I'll try to keep it abbreviated because I know some of you are getting hot. I'm just getting excited. But we went on vacation. We went to Myrtle Beach, and there was a storm that happened back at our house. Long story short, that storm, when it happened, a tree fell on our house. And it, I thought I knew which tree it was because there was one that was kind of leaning. Christy told me I need to get rid of it anyway, and I hadn't done it. So I figured I was leaning up against. Turns out that was not even close to what it was. There was a tree that hit the center eave of the house, went through the roof, went into the second floor of the house, and the way our house was set up, our boys, who at that time were 2 and 3? 1 and 2. She knows better than I do. They had separate rooms, but those rooms were just divided by a wall. That tree hit, and material came through the roof, landed in both of the cribs. There were 2x4s, cinder block with nails in the 2x4s. There was all kinds of stuff. And there were grown men who did not know us who came in and saw the cribs and wept. Christy and I continued to say that was the best vacation God ever allowed us to go on. It literally, literally saved the lives of our children. Caleb and Noah would not be here today, I don't believe, were it not for that. To me, that is God's power. Some people may say it was a coincidence, just be thankful you weren't there. I don't do that. I'm thankful to God for the way God takes care of and protects us. That is the God's power over creation. And I'm telling you, even if you're not sure about it, if you think back through your life, Even before you may have been a believer, you can recognize times God has been a part of your life like that because he loves us that much. Looking back at Scripture, we see Jesus rose and rebuked the winds and the waves and instantly brought about calmness. The disciples' response was, "What sort of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" In Jewish tradition, commanding the raging waters is a display of divine power reserved for God alone, revealing Jesus' divine identity. And this leads us to the last question for today. Why are you afraid? Jesus responds to the disciples' panic by rebuking their fear and lack of faith. He asks, why were they fearful? Personally, I don't believe that Jesus is reprimanding them for being scared. I just don't. Instead, I believe he's given them an invitation to realize that with God, or with Jesus, the creator of the universe in our boat, our security is certain. It means that we can live with a different type of peace. Now, I have no doubt that many of us here are in the midst of some type of storm right now. No matter how severe, we can look beyond our circumstances and fix our eyes on Jesus, the Lord of the storm. We can trust that the one who controls the waves is in the boat with us. So, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond to the storms that you have in life? Our praise team can come on back up. And, you know, there are a lot of people that live in fear. Fear that I don't think God desires us to have. Now, I believe there's appropriate concern. There are things that God wants us to be aware of. But keeping with the vacation theme, I actually know people who've said they want to go on vacation, but they can't go because they're not sure what their health will be like a few months from now. So they don't want to plan it in case they don't feel good. Or they're not sure they can go on vacation because you don't know what the weather's going to be like a year from now, so we can't plan that. I've heard that. There are other people that say, I can't go on a cruise. Look at all the people gotten sick on them cruises. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go on a vacation you don't want to go on. But I'm saying if you are choosing not to do anything, you're not choosing to accept the blessings that God may want to give you in life because of fear and uncertainty, you're trusting the whims of the world more than you are God who created it. God desires to bless each and every one of us. The title of this message was, what are you going to do in the storm? I hope what you'll be challenged to do and maybe embrace doing is to trust the God of the universe that has all power to provide you a peace through his presence that allows you to live the amazing life he has for you. Because I tell you, he does. He has an amazing life for each and every one of you. That, and you'll have storms and there'll be struggles, but he will be with you in the middle of that. And when you know he's there, it makes all the difference in the world. And you know when you come out on a different side, you're going to have a story to tell. Not about you, but about the God that brought you through it. And it gets better every time because you trust it. I'm not saying you get to where you look forward to the storms you're going into, but you know if you're going into it, God's with you and something pretty big is going to happen and you're ready to give him the glory for it. You just want to see what it's going to be. That happens, people. And I mean it. I've experienced it over and over again. There are people around you that have too, and that's what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, to be a believer, to claim your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand together now and just worship.